In late summer 2010, at the end of a morning briefing, one of President Obama's security advisors said, "Mr. President, Leon and the guys at Langley think they may have come up with something."
He was referring to CIA Director Leon Panetta and possible information about the location of Osama bin Laden. It was hardly the first time there'd been an enticing lead.
But this small scrap of intelligence turned out to be a breakthrough. Mark Bowden, author of Black Hawk Down, has a new book called The Finish, about the discovery and death of bin Laden. From presidential briefings to the creation of software to the history of drones, Bowden offers a granular narrative of how the U.S. closed in on the al-Qaeda leader. He joined us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
You write about a sea change, and this is how you put it. Battles used to be about how to attack an enemy who's in plain sight. After 9/11... you write, it was the opposite, that the enemy was easy to kill. The problem was finding them.
Well, I think, you know, the United States military and intelligence apparatus was certainly in 2001 still a product of the Cold War. The enemy that we faced during the Cold War was, you know, the USSR and countries that could potentially pose a threat to the United States, and their missile silos, their bases and whatnot were very easy to find, but were pretty much hard targets. When we were attacked on 9/11, I mean, this was a completely different kind of enemy. It was not a nation state. It was a international terrorist network that hid among the general population all over the world and organized itself and communicated via the internet and cell phones. And so the challenge became being able to map these networks and locate the key people in them.
In a phrase, connecting the dots.
Yeah. And, you know, the people involved in these organizations are very savvy. And so we had to get better at finding than they were at hiding. And computers played an enormous role in that, because one of the things that computers do really well, especially supercomputers, is figure out patterns in what appears to be chaos. So literally, the United States began very soon after 9/11 essentially throwing every scrap of data into an enormous database, and then went about developing software that can sort through this enormous database and also make sense out of lots of different kinds of data. That was the challenge.
Right. So in 2004, let's say, or 2005, a lot more could be done with this information than could have been done in 2001.
That's right. And you can say, you know, draw me a map of everywhere this pickup truck has been in the last month. And you can pretty much draw a map of that local organization just by monitoring the movement of a vehicle belonging to a key member. And I think speed is also crucial here. I mean, literally, a team of special operators in Iraq suddenly could conduct a raid and within minutes of that raid have secondary targets given to them from information they gathered on site, which enabled them to get inside what they call the information cycle of the enemy. So this is just extremely helpful and really started taking apart al-Qaeda and its related organizations.
Let's get back to where we started in this conversation, that small scrap of intelligence that appeared to suddenly put Osama bin Laden within America's grasp, not in the mountains, but an upscale residential area within a mile of Pakistan's West Point. A combination of this new technology had finally zeroed in on a mystery man who'd been identified as a courier to Osama bin Laden, and it looked like they had their man.
Right. The CIA was basically trying to find every single person who might conceivably be part of bin Laden's courier network. So when they found Ahmad the Kuwaiti, they knew that he might be an important courier. A couple different things about him are what finally made them recognize that finding Ahmad was possibly leading them to bin Laden himself.
What were those couple of things?
He was, and his brother, who both lived on that compound, took extraordinary precautions. You know, they would burn their garbage on site. They would drive for an hour or more away from the compound before they would make a phone call. When they got on the phone to even their closest family members, they lied about what country they were in or where they were. And so those were all suspicious things. And then when they looked at the size of the compound in Abbottabad, they realized that there was possibly someone other than the brothers themselves hiding there. I think that, coupled with the knowledge that bin Laden would likely be living in hiding with his wives and children, made them extremely suspicious of the compound.
Now, one thing people may recall from when bin Laden was finally tracked down and killed is that there was this image widely circulated of him hunched in front of the television set, sitting on the floor, sort of old guy with a knit cap, a gray beard, watching himself on a video. And you paint a portrait of him in your book, small details of his life before he was killed. What are a couple of details about his life there that you found especially intriguing?
Well, he was always an ascetic, and, you know, he enforced a very simple life on not just himself, but his family. You know, he prayed 5 and 6 times a day. They lived cramped in these upper two stories of this house. Other than going outside and pacing in the garden, he never really left. There were people living in that compound who had never seen him before. So, you know, he was about as deep into hiding as you can be without actually being in a hole somewhere.
You ultimately get to an account of how Osama bin Laden was killed there in his compound. And as your book went to press, a Navy SEAL who was part of that team came out with his own account that slightly contradicted yours. Tell us a little bit about that.
When the SEAL's version came out, it was really the first-hand account of what had happened. And I was actually pretty pleased that it confirmed like 98% of what I had learned. But there were some minor discrepancies. And, of course, the most significant one was the sequence of bullets that actually killed bin Laden, whether he was hit in the head as he poked his head outside the door and then was finished off in the bedroom, or whether he ran in the bedroom and he was confronted there and shot in the head and then shot in the chest. So the minor disparities will be sorted out in time, but essentially the story hasn't changed that much.
Mark Bowden is the author of Black Hawk Down, and his new book is called The Finish, The Killing of Osama bin Laden. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Renee.